Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. So glad you are joining me today. The film Roma has received 10 Academy Award nominations. Its director, Alfonso Cuarón, who has worked on blockbusters like Gravity, created a film about the life of a nanny who takes care of an upper-middle-class family. To do this, he went back to the neighborhood where he grew up and has said the film is an homage to the woman who worked for his family and raised him. The film's lead, Yalitza Aparicio, is the first indigenous Mexican woman to receive a Best Actress nomination. The film has started a conversation about domestic workers. In fact, the National Domestic Workers Alliance has created a campaign around the movie. The Alliance's executive director is Ai Jen Pu, who you may have seen her TED Talk or recognize her name as a MacArthur genius. Ai Jen is joining us now. Thank you so much for being on All of It.
Thanks for having me.
So when did you first see the film and what did you think initially?
I first saw the film in the summertime. Rosa San Luis, who's a domestic worker from Texas, from the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, and I were invited by the director to the Venice International Film Festival, which was the world premiere of the film. So we went and saw it there for the first time. It was the first time any audience had seen it. So it was very exciting and very, very moving to see for the first time. It's so rare to have women who do domestic work, the kind of unsung heroines of our homes, so visible on the big screen, and to have her be the protagonist, the heroine of a major film like that, and to have that role depicted with such humanity and complexity was really profound and moving for both myself and Rosa, who really felt like Cleo, who is the heroine of the story, represented her story in many, many ways.
What do you think the film says about domestic workers that really hasn't been said before?
Well, I think that the portrayals of domestic workers in popular culture are either a kind of flattening of the full humanity of the women who do this work, or at worst, reinforcing negative stereotypes. And what this film does is the interesting thing about domestic workers is they're at the center of our families and yet at the bottom of our society and our economy. And so you just never see it you never see the world through their eyes in our culture. And what this film does is have all of the audiences really identify with the experience of an indigenous domestic worker. So what is happening in the family, the tragedy and the pain and the struggles of the story of this family unfolds, but through the lens of the domestic worker. And in many ways...
Oh, please continue.
Sorry. No, in many ways, it really helps us see the family story differently and more completely and more fully.
We have a little slight delay, so I'll try to do my best not to step on you when you speak. My guest is Ai Jen Pu, Executive Director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. There's been a campaign around this, and you screened the film for domestic workers in New York and L.A. Would you share with us what that reception was like and what some of these people said to you, what this film meant to them?
Sure. We've been screening this film for domestic workers and also employers, families. And in January, we actually announced with Participant Media a campaign to screen the film in 12 different cities to spark a conversation about the role of domestic work in our families and in our economy. And what it's done is it's created this incredible opportunity for millions of people to start thinking about these relationships that make everything else possible in our homes and in our families. The role of the domestic worker as somebody who's there taking care of our children and helping to nurture the human potential of our children, people who are with our elders and really with them as they prepare to leave this world, there's so much about the relationship that's underappreciated, undervalued, and unseen. And it's creating the context for us to all reflect on all of these relationships in our lives that help make us who we are. And we're hoping that audiences will be inspired to get involved in the movement to achieve protections and recognition for this workforce. In fact, we have a federal bill that Senator Harris and Congresswoman Jayapal will be introducing that actually it's the National Domestic Worker Bill of Rights, and it establishes protections for this workforce once and for all across the country. And we're hoping audiences will be inspired to join us in the effort to get this passed.
Well, could you also lay out some of the other protections? Tell our listeners what's in this bill exactly?
Absolutely. So a lot of people may not know this, but domestic workers were explicitly excluded from most of the labor laws that you and I take for granted when we go to work every day. The right to form a union, the right to certain wage and safety protections, protection from sexual harassment and discrimination. There's so many protections that domestic workers have been systematically excluded from, and that has a history that's rooted in racism in our labor laws. And so for years, domestic workers have been organizing to try to address those exclusions and establish protections, assert the dignity and equality of this work. And New York State was actually the first state in the country to pass a domestic worker bill of rights in 2010. Now there are 8 states that have passed legislation, and we're now taking that effort national to make sure that the exclusions are addressed, that domestic workers have access to basic protections, time off, training, everything we need to make these jobs good jobs for the 21st century.
And you mentioned they're rooted in racism. I'm assuming you're referring to the South and enslaved women, the history of enslaved women in the home.
That's right. So some of the first domestic workers were Black women who were enslaved, and that legacy and history really shaped how lawmakers treated this industry. So in the 1930s, when Congress was discussing all the laws that would be a part of the New Deal, Southern members of Congress refused to support the National Labor Relations Act and the Fair Labor Standards Act if they included protections for farm workers and domestic workers, who, of course, were African American at the time. So those major cornerstones of our labor laws were passed, enacted with those exclusions in place, and it's really shaped the conditions of work for this workforce and the culture around it for generations.
Are you seeing more politicians now, let's fast forward to the present day, speaking up on the rights of domestic workers? Who are leaders in this besides Senator Harris?
We've seen a lot of support from members of Congress. And what's really exciting is that we have the most diverse Congress in history, and now almost 24% of the members of Congress are women. And this new Congress, we had the first Native American women, the first Muslim women, the youngest women, and I think they're all ready to do what it will take to have an economy that really recognizes and values all workers. And the reality is right now there are millions of people, especially women and women of color, who are working incredibly hard and still can't make ends meet. And domestic workers are among them. We have the opportunity now to do something about that. And I think our new class of elected officials agree that it's past time and they're working with us to get it done.
You also, in terms of just the practical part of this conversation, you have the numbers on your side because you have baby boomers who are aging and are going to, at some point, need elder care. And then you have millennials who, you know, they're not college kids anymore. Millennials have families and they're starting to have children and are going to need child care.
In fact, 4 million children are born to millennials every year now. And we have every 8 seconds someone turns 65 in America. That's 10,000 people per day, 4 million people per year reaching retirement age, and living longer than ever before. My grandmother's demographic of 85 and older is the fastest growing demographic in America today. So we're about to have the largest older population, meaning we're going to need a lot more elder care, especially as people want to stay home and not go into nursing homes. We're going to need home care workers, domestic workers, and we're going to need child care providers. And you know, the thing about this is that a lot of people are starting to recognize is these are jobs that can't be outsourced, and they're not going to be automated, right? They've been trying to build a robot in a lab in LA that can fold towels for 11 years and have been unsuccessful. So I think that this workforce is going to be around for a while. And, you know, it's so important. So why can't they be good jobs that you can really take pride in? And that's what we're hoping this film Roma can really help us spark the conversation, a national, maybe even a global conversation about the incredible value of this work and the incredible timeliness, the way that we all have a stake in making this work good work.
My guest is Ai-Jin Poo, Executive Director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. How has this film changed the narrative around domestic workers?
Well, I think the idea that domestic workers are heroines, right, unsung heroines, is actually incredibly intuitive after seeing this film. And when you think about it, I think our culture has not predisposed us to really seeing women's work as heroic. And what this film does is it actually forces us to identify with her heroism and see it in a new way. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. I've heard so many people tell me that after seeing the film, they went home over Thanksgiving or over Christmas, and there was a domestic worker in their relative's home, and for the first time, they paid attention and talked to that person and asked her, what is her story? Where is she from? Who is she? And why? You know, just all of a sudden seeing the people who've been there all along as a not only a part of the story, but a vital and really central part of who we are as a society.
I'm interested, you know, we talked about history of two centuries ago, but I think it's interesting the film is set in 1970. So when you think about domestic work in recent history, what has changed the most in the past 50 years, both for the good and for the not as good?
Well, what's interesting is I think that despite the fact that the film takes place in another country in another time, there's so much about the quality and the nature of the relationship that is still exactly right. It's still so true, which is why it has struck such an emotional chord among people. And I think if I were to say one thing about the difference is that I actually think that domestic work is much more popular now in that we're living in an age where our families are changing. And, you know, whereas we just talked about the huge and growing need for care on the part of American families, the fact is at the very moment when we need more care than ever before, we have less of it. Because whereas in past generations, we could count on women to stay home and take care of family members, that hasn't been true for a couple of decades, at least, right? Where now most kids are growing up in households where all the adults in the household work outside the home. And so we need this workforce. Everyday working families need the support of domestic workers in ways that are much broader in society than perhaps in the 1960s and 70s. And so this is a absolutely essential part of our economy and our culture. And in many ways, we're just catching up to that. So we still culturally treat it the way that we did in the 1970s and maybe even in the 1870s, maybe. But really where we are is we have the opportunity now to reimagine domestic work for the 21st century in a way that really recognizes its value and its contributions to our economy.
Let's talk about that reimagination, because at the base of all of this is, can someone make a living doing this kind of work? Will you share with our audience how much money on average domestic workers make in this country?
Well, domestic work includes nannies, house cleaners, and caregivers, home care workers, for example, who take care of the elderly and people with disabilities. The annual median income for a home care worker in the United States is about $13,000 per year. Hmm. And it's shocking. Whenever I say that number, it's shocking because it's impossible to imagine anywhere, let alone New York City, but anywhere in this country where you can survive, let alone support a family on $13,000 per year. And we're talking about people who are piecing it together, like house cleaners who may have one client, may have five clients, may have 10 clients. And from week to week, that work is completely insecure. You don't know if you're going to be able to buy groceries from week to week, if you're going to be able to pay the rent from week to week. And these are women who are primary income earners for their families. And so it's a real struggle, and it shouldn't be, which is why our whole entire mission at the National Domestic Workers Alliance is to bring about an awakening in this country about the incredible opportunity we have to really value this work, to make these jobs good jobs, and the way that we all benefit from it. Imagine if we were able to secure a workforce to care for our families, and the people who did that work could care for their own too. It's a simple concept that we think is just key to sustainability in the 21st century. And in fact, we're designing all kinds of tools. In addition to legislative measures, we've created a new benefits platform that allows for house cleaners with multiple clients to get access to benefits for the very first time. So you could contribute a small contribution on top of your cleaning fee to the house cleaner who cleans your home, and she could get access to paid time off and other benefits for the very first time. The benefits platform is called ALEA, and it's really exciting. We've just taken it national, and it's one of many solutions we have to really bring about change for this workforce.
Why isn't this treated more like a civil rights issue?
It's a great question. Well, it certainly is a civil rights issue. And in fact, the mother of our movement is a woman named Dorothy Lee Bolden, who is from Atlanta, Georgia. And she was a neighbor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And in the height of the civil rights movement, she went to him and she said, "Domestic workers want to be a part of the civil rights movement. We are part of it. This is about us, too. We want to be a part of it." And he said to her, "We'll organize the domestic workers and you're in." And she created the National Domestic Workers Union. And at its peak, it had about 30,000 members throughout the South of African-American women. And the only thing you had to do to be a member of the National Domestic Workers Union was pay your dues and register to vote. And they were a really important, this is an untold story. They're a critical part of the civil rights movement in the South. And they were a lot of the reason why some domestic workers gained protections under minimum wage laws in 1974. But she's the mother of our movement, and she's an unsung civil rights heroine. And that civil rights movement is in our DNA as a result. People don't see it that way, but we certainly embody that. And it may be because we're also a movement of women, right? That people don't see us that way, but we are kind of at the intersection of everything. We have women, we're women, we're women of color, we're immigrant women, we're Black women, we're working in our own homes and in other people's homes. And so we're kind of everywhere, in a sense, and not very visible in our culture in another sense, and one of the reasons why Roma is so important to us.
My guest has been Ai-Jin Poo. She's the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. You can read more about their work on a website, domesticworkers.org. Ai-Jin, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.